ladies.
Good evening.
How are we on this fine Sunday?
I mean, very good, because I had a Mackie D's today for the first time in months, so I'm actually so delighted with myself. Like, my serotonin levels have just gone through the fucking roof. I am delighted with myself.
Have returned to their natural habitat. Nature is healing. This is a relaxed episode. We are having chats more than anything, but we're going to tell some stories in between it. And we need it. We've done like 3 heavy weeks of bullshit where we actually genuinely got upset and like had to go to bed afterwards. So fuck that. We're going to have some fun this week.
Who's going first?
Oh, tis up to the dungeon master now, so it is.
I'm nervous.
It's 11, so it's Lizzie.
Nice.
Let's dive in.
So on this week's episode, we've decided we're going to do a bit of spooky ghost stories, or like any hauntings, really. And I decided I wanted to do a lunatic asylum. So for this week, I am doing the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. So my sources for this week were Snopes.com, Trans-AlleghenyLunaticAsylum.com. That was a bit of a mouthful. All Things Interesting and Ghost Adventures. Now, I know the boys are absolute hamheads, but it is great. Season 3, episodes 1 to 3, just watch it. So, just a little bit of background on the building. So, it was built in Weston, West Virginia, and I am trying not to sing Country Road with all, like, my being.
Just every it's time just sang it every you say wedding. West Virginia, you just go, like,
West Virginia.
Manhama.
Or do the pub version where no one really knows the song and they're like, da da da, hey, hey, da da da, hey, hey, West Virginia. God, we're shocking. Yeah, so it was in Western West Virginia, and it was actually built by Irish stonemasons between the years 1858 and 1881. And the reason why it took so long to build is because it's the second largest hand-cut stone building in the world. Like, that's just actually how big this building is. It is 4 floors and it is fucking massive. Like, even if you look up pictures of it, it is huge. Like, it all, like, it ran by itself. Like, they had their own farms, like, they had their own, like, water plant facilities. Like, it was all self-run. Like, they needed no outside help whatsoever. Like, that's how big the complex actually was.
So it was essentially a plantation, but instead of there being, like, rich white southern people living there, there was
mentally ill people. And not even mentally ill people as well. Yeah. Basically,
any woman who had a bit of a fucking attitude.
We are going to get into that. So the hospital was actually built using the Kirkbride method, and this is modelled after Thomas Kirkbride. So he was a physician at the time, but he was also very ahead of his time. So he didn't believe that people that were mentally ill should be locked in away in an attic and left to rot, and that were like shamed to societies, as was the way of the time. So he actually believed that mental illnesses could be cured with, like, true therapy. Not even fresh air, because obviously, like, people, they cure depression with fresh air. Like, not that bullshit.
Yeah, like a
but,
change,
like,
of environment need, and stuff like that.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
100%, like, this man had great, great, great intentions, and it's very sad to what happened to his design, basically. The wings were arranged in kind of like a staggered formation, so it would assure that each of the connecting structures received plenty of sunlight, they had big open windows, and that, like, it allowed for plenty of ventilation. So this, like, was immaculate. Stop. Looking back in its heyday, like, they'd big great gardens, there was flowers, like, it actually looked like a little retreat as opposed to an asylum, basically.
Yeah.
And so before its completion, because, like I said, it took, like, nearly, what, 30-odd year to reach its completion, actually housed Civil War Unionist soldiers. And it was, like, this was a very important military post, because there was actually a big battle in Weston against the Confederates and the Unionists. And remember that, because I have a bit of a ghost story about the fucking Civil War soldiers. So, originally, the hospital was made to house 250 people. But this is where it gets a bit fucking sad. But by 1950, it had reached maximum capacity with over 10 times the amount that it was intended for, totalling at 2,400 patients.
Oh,
and they were sardined. Whoa. Like, there was pictures, and it's just lines and lines and lines of beds. It was really bad. So, like, due to the mass overcrowding, the reputation quickly plundered into shit. Like, it was so bad. Like, so many of the patients were suffering from malnutrition. Like, that, the way that they were kind of running the place themselves, they weren't getting any outside help, but you can only do so much because they were only meant to cater for 250 people. And due to the malnutrition then, it just only exacerbated their mental illnesses. And those big bright windows ended up getting covered in grime, mould, the wallpaper actually began to rot as well. Oh my God, and just fall off the base. Could you actually imagine what that looked like?
Disgusting.
Like, yeah, I'm creepy. I'm sorry. Who wants
my
to do that?
Childhood home.
But it, like, if especially PTSD, if it's like a light colour, like a neutral colour, it starts to look like skin.
Yeah, but it's going to go that weird greeny colour as well from the mould. And not even like that, it just like rotting off. Obviously, that's sick. But the patients were then ripping it off as well because there were so many patient to staff ratio. A lot of them were just running around the place doing whatever the fuck they wanted. So it wasn't like safe, like for their like mental well-being, but like even physically. And this led to like a massive, massive scandal. And an internal investigation was actually done. And it saw that patients were sleeping on the floor of freezing cold rooms. The dire sanitation, like it was grim. Like, the toilets and everything were in absolute shatters. And the patients that the orderlies deemed uncontrollable had been locked in cages and open spaces. So then it made room for the patients that could easily be sedated or that were low functioning to be kept on the inside. And they were often caged or, like, chained in these cages.
Like, how do you ever, in any shape or form, expect anyone to get better? You could put, like, someone with the best of mental health into a situation,
in that situation
like that, and they deteriorate
and see how
so
quick
fast
they break. Yeah,
exactly.
But what's scandalous, the place was only closed down in 1994. Like, that should have been closed down a lot longer than that. Like,
yeah, I will say, I do have like a little bit of a sidetrack, but it is related. But the schools that David went to in Scotland, even up until I think it was only maybe 2 years ago or so that they got called out for doing it, but they used to keep the kids at, say, lunchtime and stuff. They used to keep the kids that had, say, Down syndrome, autism, any sort of like mental issue, they keep them in cages as well.
What the fuck?
Physically in cages. I'll have to find the name of the school for you, because for the life of me I can't remember it, and David's not around for me to ask him now. But like, you can look it up, there was a whole article done about it. I'll send it on to you guys later. And
do I want to read about it?
If anyone wants to know more about it, I guess email us. But sorry for the sidetrack. But yeah, just while you were saying it, like, literally,
Jesus.
While David was in school there, and like, he's only 25. So
yeah.
What the hell?
I'll let you get back on with your story now. Sorry.
So, reasons for admission, right? So the first one.
While you're calling them out, I'm going to see how many I have. Let's go.
Right. Imaginary female trouble. I'd love to know what that meant.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, what is that? Like, is that just something that you can't prove? So is that just like cramps or...
No, yeah, I'd imagine it's like when you get a bit of like PMS, like, or you're just having general issues with your reproductive system.
Or you're
so
on
like,
the menopause.
Like,
menopause.
Like, I have a lot of issues with mine.
Endometriosis and stuff. Like, stuff that like...
Because they didn't believe that shit happened to women's womb. So it's same, exactly, okay. I have imaginary women's problems because I have PCOS and suspected endometriosis. So yeah, first one already, I'm getting fucking locked up.
Right.
Let's carry on.
Number two, good old hysteria and how the fucking dirty doctors used to treat that
shit. Presumably we all have that.
Oh yeah, we're all
I presume I have that, like.
Yeah, absolutely, like.
We're
immoral, like.
We're uppity women.
We're angry, opinionated women, but we like dick. So that's hysteria.
Then
Jesus Christ, I nearly choked to death in my fucking coffee.
You're welcome. At least it wasn't a dick. Sorry.
I was going to say the same. I actually can't go. Right,
okay,
number four.
We're going well.
But you're going to have this one as well. Medicine to prevent contraception.
Wait,
this one.
To prevent contraception.
So.
Yep.
No, to prevent conception.
Conception.
God, I said that wrong. Oh my God, I literally wrote down contraception because I'm such a fucking moron. But I meant conception. I'd be locked up for that fucking
so
stupid
confused.
Mistake alone.
How do you prevent it? Like, how does that work?
No, it's just me being fucking dyslexic. Like, I swear to God. I don't know if any of you want to relate, and I don't really want to know if any of you do, but deranged masturbation is number five.
I
don't know if that's like some crazy whore that's hiding in the bushes cracking one out, like, do you know what I mean?
But that's just definitely someone who's like, you know, like deranged is nearly to the point of like addiction.
You know, the people where they don't even think about the fact that they're wanking. They're just like sitting
and
there
just,
and they're
constantly
out,
doing
down,
it.
They're taxi pants, they're just baiting away. They don't even finish, they just keep going.
Oh my God, Savannah.
Well, maintaining eye contact.
Can't relate, is my point. Yes.
Number six before a quiva vomits. Asthma. Now, can somebody tell me why that means I should be locked away in an asylum? It's like, it's not my fault I was born on bogland, okay?
Honestly.
I shouldn't be locked away.
I can't run for more than 30 seconds, but I get asylum for that. Like,
now, this one's actually
so
hilarious.
Okay.
Number seven, seduction and disappointment. So with an immoral life, you can't be too slaggy, but then the other one, you can't be a shit ride. So you have to find like a middle ground. And I find that very fucking sad.
Like, there's no way.
You can't be a prick tease, basically.
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to say?
But you also can't be a prick tease. That, but you can't be a disappointment, so you can't be a disappointment to your husband in bed.
So it's not even just like you seduce someone and then you're like, psych, you're not getting my poon. It's literally like you just
it's
can't
It's literally
be
both. Number 8. I hope none of you have this. Parents were cousins. That's another reason to be locked away.
Like, should the parents who were cousins not be locked up?
Exactly my point. It's not the poor kid's fault. Right, so number 9, rumour of husband murder. So if your husband passed away and then someone was like, she definitely had a hand in it. You didn't even get a chance to defend yourself. You were fucked right in that asylum. Get ready to have number 8 because, or not number 8. Well, yeah, 8 for you, but 10 on the list. Novel reading, because God forbid women get an education.
Oh my God, reading. That gives such a whole new meaning to like the whole like Gaston and Belle thing.
Yeah, right. So all of these afflictions, in quotes, were said that, okay, if you do any of these, it's going to lead to a mental illness, such as chronic dementia, acute mania, and melancholia, or, you know, sadness. Depression. So basically, so
melancholia
if you like,
is such a more beautiful word for
such
it.
Such a fabulous word, such a fabulous word. But if you had asthma, you're depressed. But even like people with like slight behavioural issues. So if you were a bit rowdy, if you were an alcoholic or like that, you strayed from any sort of social norm back in the day, you were literally seen to be possessed by either demons, witches, or even in some cases the fucking devil himself. And then that just gave grounds for you to be institutionalised and not a word was said about it. Do you know what I mean?
Does the devil not have better things to do?
Probably.
No, like, only when he goes down to Georgia.
Or is it the whole like God thing where like he's everywhere at once?
The way I was always taught about the devil is that the devil kind of, he lays out what the minions have to do and then they go
he's
do
the
his
Charles
thing.
Manson of the situation.
Yeah, his demons do all of his work for him.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of looking down or sitting.
Santa and his elves like.
And as well, you know he's definitely a fitty, because if he was a fallen angel, you know he's absolutely stunning looking. So to be honest, if I was to
Lucifer
see him, I wouldn't be upset about it.
Lucifer was supposed to be gorgeous. Just, again, this is a fucking random sidetrack, but I was thinking about this the other day, where it's like, if there could be such a thing as a bad angel, as in Lucifer, surely there's such a thing as a good demon.
You can't have one without the other, but that's the church like, saying that, no, like, there's not all, like, there's only the one bad angel and then nothing bad can be turned good. That's all that shit is.
There's a book called The Second Coming, and I fully recommend that all of you read it, because it's exactly, if there is a God, if there is like all of that organised religious shit, this is how it is. I promise you, it's exactly how it is in that book. And it's about Jesus coming to earth during all the shitty times that we are, and he basically goes on X Factor, and it's so funny. It's a fucking great book, but it describes religion exactly the way I want to believe it if it does exist. So that's all I'll say. That'll fix all of your thoughts about it. Please go read The Second Coming. It's a great book.
So treatments at this facility anyway offered chemical castration, because they weren't offered. Mm-hmm. Even though you had no fucking choice.
Well, I feel like a
conversion
bit of chemical
therapy.
Castration today.
So conversion therapy, insulin shock therapy, but that would leave people actually comatose, and electric shock therapy, and good old lobotomies. Now I'm going to tell you about one. I didn't write down the name of it because they didn't actually do it in this asylum. But basically, it was this big, like, contraption, and they'd put you in it. And you'd be locked in it so tight, and they'd spin you around mad for fucking ages. For, like, I mean, I'd say a good hour. And you're constantly going round in this hole. And it was to get blood up to your brain to cure mental illness, because fresh blood to the brain would cure everything. And they did this for fucking years.
Sure, Jen. Sure.
This particular place became notorious for lobotomies, because the fella that kind of pioneered the place, I think his name was like Wallace Freeman or something like that, I didn't write too much about him, because him and himself we could do a whole fucking case on. Like, we could probably do 4 or 5 on this cunt alone, because he is mental. He did like over 4,000 lobotomies in his career, and he used to do mad demonstrations like in his classroom and everything, and people used to bring dates in just to look at it. It was mental. I'm not going into it now, but we should just look into him in future, because
they used to go to, like,
he should be in there. Never mind the poor creators that actually are.
Honestly.
Like, actually crazy. Gosh. So because of the mass overcrowding as well, and the fact that there was more patient to staff ratio, sexual assault and murder was fucking rampant in this place. And one patient was actually stabbed 17 times because the person that stabbed him wanted to see what it was like when somebody died.
Ew.
And he was just pushed him out, start stabbing him in front of everybody, and I wanted to see what it was like. That was it.
So no particular reason for picking that one dude. It was just like,
no, he just wanted to see what it was like for someone to die, so he just picked that person that happened to cross him. Yeah, nice. I know. There was actually no real rest for the dead, so a lot of them were actually left unclaimed. So, like, remember, I don't know if it was you, Svan, or if it was you, Cuiva, saying that you couldn't sign yourself in and sign yourself out, as often your families would sign you in and then would have to sign you out. And a lot of, like, the times, the patients here, their families never
came back. The family never came back.
They actually had 4 graveyards on the complex, and they were full to capacity. And they weren't even given their names on their headstone, just a patient number. That was it. And by now, obviously due to like chemical weathering and stuff like that, you can't read them. So like nobody knows whose graves are whose, because there wasn't like a record kept of 412 is in plot, whatever.
Yeah.
They were just like open space, boom, there you are. And your family were given your patient number, obviously when they signed you in, but that was it. So it's very, very hard to tell who's in what. So that's why a lot of the ghosts that are in this place, people are trying to find them, but it's very hard because they can't find the gravestones. Because they're all completely decimated now at this point. And it's very, very sad. So we're going to go on to the ghosts. And it's not going to get any better. Like I said, there's 4 floors. And each floor, it's kind of like it levels up in a game where the game gets harder and harder. The ghosts get weirder and weirder. And scarier and scarier.
I love it.
On floor 1.
Luigi's Mansion.
Love that game. Great game. Go buy it if you haven't got it. But on the first floor, we have Ruth. And when she was alive, she was a very, very violent patient. Like, she would attack nurses and other patients constantly. And she fucking detested men. Like, there's no reason as to why, like, they didn't give why she hated men as much as she did. But she was the exact same in death. Because any male investigators that would come in onto the first floor, they would always get attacked. But the female ones wouldn't. So a lot of different reports where it said that she would either throw stuff at them, grab their legs, try pull them down flights of stairs, push them, and they've even caught the noise of someone hissing before. And the way they reckon that she presents herself is like, she used to be locked in a feeder chair, due to like, obviously, give her food, because she just kind of trod and stuff the whole time when she's by herself. So when she was alive as well, she used to smack on the table constantly, like, you know, and then lunge and attack someone. So that, like, the feeder chairs are actually still in the place. So a lot of people have heard the noise of a hand slapping off the chair, and then someone would be attacked. So they reckon this is her way of making a presence known. Yeah, and the noises of metal gurneys, like, you know, wheeling down the hallways as well, can apparently still be heard moving through floor 1. Now we're on to floor 2. I would definitely shit myself on this floor, because if I say anything like what I'm about to say, I'd be ran a country mile, and this is no word of a lie. So floor 2 is known as the Civil War wing. So people have reported hearing drums and gunshots, and the kind of rhythm of the drum is consistent with what the soldiers back during the Civil War would use before they went into battle. And obviously the guns sounded like the rifles that would have been used at the time. And as well, people have seen men in Unionist military uniforms running and even crawling around the hallways and through the bends on floor 2. Could you imagine doing an investigation and you see someone crawling towards you? I actually can't.
I think I would be gone.
Don't even test me.
Like, to the point that I wouldn't even be able to run away. I'd be so shocked.
Just drop kick it in the fucking face.
I don't know what I do. Like,
how do you deal with that?
I genuinely don't know
what
I do.
Just be watching it come for me. I wouldn't be able to move, I don't think.
No. And then, as well, loads of people have said that they had actually seen a group of soldiers charging towards them as if they were getting ready to fight.
Oh my God.
If I seen that and running towards me, I'm sorry.
What the hell?
You'll see me shadow. That's about it. I'd be gone. But I hope I wouldn't fucking freeze.
Be like a cartoon character where just the print, the outline of you is left because you left that fast.
All you hear is a sound and I'm gone.
Not even
and
the dust.
Trigger warning for poor Niamh. You also see flickering lights, orbs, and then cold spots in places that are away from drafty doors and windows, so it doesn't make sense. But also, 2 patients committed suicide on this floor by hanging themselves, and people have still seen their shadows hanging when they turn corners.
Oh my god.
Yeah, like you're walking down a corridor, then you just see one drop, or then you keep walking, you looking into one room, and you just see one swinging, hanging from the ceiling. Like,
I feel like the drop would be way more disturbing than the swing.
I don't know why. The swing probably like, only catch your eye, but it's the drop. Yeah, exactly. I thought the exact same. So now we're going on to floor number 3, and this actually housed the most violent patients, and particularly Ward F. Now, the story I'm about to tell, every other article I've seen, they called your man Dean. But according to the Ghost Adventures, they actually did an interview with one of the nurses that were on the ward at the time, and his name's Charlie. Just so if anybody comes to me and is like, oh, his name's Dean, I'm going to believe the nurse and his name was fucking Charlie. That's all I'm going to say. Right, so Charlie was a low-functioning patient at the time of, like, during the asylum, and it was in the 1980s. And one night, his 2 roommates decided that they were going to kill him. So they tried to hang him with the bed sheets, but because his neck wouldn't break for them and wouldn't snap when they wanted it to, they cut him down, drew him to the floor, and placed the metal leg of the bed frame on his, the side of his skull, removed the mattress, and decided to jump on the bed until the leg of the chair went through his skull and hit the floor.
I've heard that story. I thought it happened in a prison, though.
No. This happened in Trans-Allegheny, yeah. And it's actually really, really fucking sad.
That's horrific. A lot of people, a bad way to die, like.
People still hear him crying in the room that he died in, saying no. And that actually just made me so sad.
I'm not surprised that there's a residual spirit from him, because that is just...
No.
That's a horrific death.
Traumatic. Like, anything that's that traumatising is going to leave some sort of an imprint or some sort of a stain on the place.
Yeah.
100% agree.
100%. 100%.
And during an EVP session one night, an investigator decided he was going to try to communicate with him. He was successful. All he could hear was whimpering. And he asked if he knew that he was murdered. And Charlie replied, yes. And the investigator asked if he needed help moving on. And Charlie responds, perhaps I do. That just made me so sad. I was like, oh, bless him. nearly made me tear up. I was like, oh, God, love him. Like, he was horribly murdered. And now doesn't know how to move on.
Perhaps I do.
So he's just stuck in that place the whole time. I have to move on now. He's making me too upset. God bless him.
That's really sad.
So there was a nurse by the name of Elizabeth, and she went missing, and her body actually wasn't found until 2 months later at the bottom of an unused staircase. Because like I said, the place was fucking massive, so an unused staircase, it's not really like... I'd well believe it.
Yeah, do you know no what one's I mean? Going to be looking there too often.
No.
Once again, I apologise for the cat.
Disembodied purring. I suppose it fits in with our spooky episode. During an EVP session, Elizabeth actually revealed that she knew who had killed her and where she had been killed. I know she's still seen to this day carrying out like her clerical duty, so she's been seen running from room to room with like a little clipboard. Like literally people have seen the clipboard and stuff, but this is kind of sick bit.
Oh my God.
When people are coming up the staircase and around in the corner to floor number 3, a lot of people have met her standing right at the corner, so as soon as they turn, she's like eye level to them and just staring them dead in the fucking eye. I would snarf her.
Oh my God.
No way. I couldn't. And because this floor was so bad where the violent patients were housed, they had like isolation chambers. At one stage they were like the iron clasp ones, but then because they had to be more humane, they changed them to leather, but you can still hear them like aggressively being pulled or being shaken on that floor. And now we're on to floor numero 4. This is meant to be where the highest amount of activity is, and it's meant to be home to the spirit known as the Creeper. Now, the Creeper doesn't like present himself as in like human form. It's kind of like a black mask,
so cool.
And it like silks up the walls and around the windows. Like, it doesn't actually present itself as like a solid form. Yeah. And
nope, that's some ring bullshit.
During an investigation, they were trying to communicate to see if it was like a past patient that was just so traumatized that this is how it's deciding to show itself. You know, like if the spirit was that angry, this is how we wanted to present itself, like the hurt that it felt. So thinking like that it could be a past patient, they were using a voice box. And basically the way that the voice box works is you'd say something and words actually come up on the device. And it's all like it should be relevant to what you're asking. So they asked him, who was he? And the word demon lit up. Absolutely.
Lovely.
Not. So he's thought to be like a very strong presence, obviously. And stops other spirits from communicating. So many investigators have gone to the fourth floor and tried to communicate with other spirits that are there. But they're quickly cut off after they hear a growling noise. And the shark get out. And then the other spirits just stop communicating completely. And then like they get nothing from
that
floor
at all.
That's so
sad though, but like, even when they're dead, they're still being fucking tormented.
They haven't got peace.
Yeah. They're still being silenced. Bet it was a fucking warden that got killed. Not a fucking inmate at
all. Or a lot of people think it's actually the spirit that killed Elizabeth.
Oh, shit.
Because they were patients at the place, apparently.
Okay.
And they think that, now this is all a theory, there was two of them and one killed the other one to kind of shut them up because they were kind of getting a bit too out of hand where they were going to keep on doing it and keep on doing it. So that's where they think that the Creeper comes from, that he was one that was actually killed. But because... Right. He was killed was because he was going to go on a fucking rampage, basically. So they think that's who the Creeper could be, but yeah, again, that's just a theory. Obviously, we don't know who it is or what it is, but...
I like that theory, that, like, it's a black figure, so we know it's got an evil presence, because that's, like, there's a colour code for ghosts. And then, you know, like, it's obviously dark and whatever, and, like, that, it just makes sense. It makes sense. Yeah. And it's like they were killed before they could continue their life's purpose, which was this murderous rampage.
Exactly.
So, like it. Hate it now at the same time, but love it.
We have a lovely little ghost now. Leslie. So room 668 is meant to home Lily. And Lily is a little girl apparently between the ages of 9 and 12. And it's believed that she was actually born in the asylum. And then her mother died and she was left there. And in quotes, this is not me saying it, Lily was left to be raised among the insane, in quotes. Which I feel like, stop slagging off the people that were there because I guarantee half of them didn't deserve to be there. But then,
exactly.
Like, do you know what I mean? But they think that Lily would have died due to sickness. And that's why she was gone so young. Not that it actually happened to her while she was there. It's just she got sick and she passed away.
Thank God for that, yeah. I guess.
So she's described to be looking very frail, so that obviously could be due to how she looked when she passed, like if it could have been to sickness. She's long dark hair and a white nightdress, so kind of like that little spooky one you used to see when you were a kid.
Oh my God, oh my little girl ghost. So many years she was with me. I was thinking about this as well the other day, it's like I've had two or three ghosts attached to me because of Adam. Like, they were originally his ghosts, and then they were just like, oh no, this one's more fun. Let's
passed
follow
on to
her.
You. Like, no way, yeah. Like, but, I'd actually get sick.
Very similar, I'd say, because, like, same thing with my little girl. Never found out her name or anything like that. But she did come from, like, a really haunted building in Ireland. And I cannot for the life of me remember the name of it, but it's in... Oh, fuck, why can't I think of the name of the place either?
I feel like Adam told me as well, and I can't remember it.
For the life of me, I can't think of it. And we were literally talking about doing a nugget trip there to try and, like, do some investigations and stuff. And now I can't think of it. And it's, like, it's right there. It's right in my brain.
Cashel? No?
No. I can smell the word, even. But it's, like, not coming to me. Oh, I'll figure it out.
Anyway,
I
guarantee
we'll talk about that
in
another episode. But yeah. She was a nice little ghost. She freaked me out for the love of fuck, but, like... She never did anything to harm us.
And do you know what? It's the same as this little one because she was such a lovely little ghost. Well, ghost, could you call them a ghost? But apparently she's just still looking for her mum. So they've and you can hear the EVPs as well because they've released videos and like the audio clips of you can hear a little child saying, "I want my mommy," and like really, really sadly, like
get out of my face with your feelings. Yeah. Oh, that's that hurts in the heart.
There's actually a good few videos up of her playing like a ball game or playing the torch game. So they'd leave a ball in the middle of the room, like the floor's level because they'd bring like a level up, you know, to show that. There's no like irregularities on the floor and the ball would actually just start like passing back and forth from each other. Mm-hmm. Or the torch game is where you unscrew the top of the torch where the batteries go, but you have it on just enough that just like the slightest touch will light it up. So you obviously have to leave it on, but it's turned off because it's like the batteries are coming out of it. But when pressure is applied to it, it lights up. So they kind of use this as like a form of communication. So touch it and make it light up for yes, or leave it dark for no, basically. And there's loads of videos of that going on as well. And one female investigator decided to leave her some sweets once. So she left the sweets and she left a voice clip or a voice recorder up there. And after a while, she went back up. A few of the sweets were kind of like all over the place. And she took the recording and when she listened back to it, you could actually hear the rustling of it as if it was on opening. And a little girl's voice saying, "Thanks for the snack."
Oh!
She was a little cherub.
That is so cute.
Oh my God.
She's meant to recognise people as well. Because if, like the same kind of investigators are going in the whole time to see what they can capture, they've actually heard their name being called and then felt, like, a little hand holding theirs or, like, a tugging kind of at the very, like, the lower back of their shirt. You know, that's, like, it's evident that it's a child doing it because, obviously, they can't reach up any higher. Mm. And she just follows them around as in, like, oh, these are my friends.
So it's been decided we're going and I'm going to adopt this little girl ghost and she's going to be my ghost child. And that's it.
I mean, in full support of this idea because she sounds like a little...
Honest God, she can come home with me any day.
So the fourth floor was originally used as apartments for any family members of patients that wanted to come down and they could stay at the facility because like I said before it was all like self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. But because of the mass overcrowding that they had, this floor then was predominantly used for alcoholics and drug addicts.
Fab.
So you can still hear deranged screaming, flickering lights as always, footsteps running at you. You can't see at him, but it's like the tapping noise and you know it's headed in your direction and the sound of a woman screaming, but it's like something's happening to her, like it's the dread pain filled scream that people can still hear, but it's like they don't know who it belongs to. It just sounds like it's far away, but you know it's up on that floor. And there's also an apparition that's been seen peeping and stalking investigators, so it'll be following them as they make their way through the floor, and if they turn around they see it and it's like peeping by doorways and then we'll go back.
Oh no, I don't like that one. That's too close to home. That's too close to home.
No, exactly. This is way too close to home. And you can actually still visit the asylum now and go on ghost tours. It's like $40 if you want to go. And the money goes towards the restoration of the building because it's fucking massive. And because of all the history that happened there and then all the spirits that are still there, they want it there to like, you know, for the upkeep. So then people can still come and visit. And that is the haunting of the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum.
I want to go.
I want to go so bad.
I'm going to go with the intentions of adopting the little girl and get possessed by the creeper. But look, it'll be worth it. It'll be fine.
And help poor Charlie find peace, because that still actually makes me so sad.
Yes, oh my God, yes. We'll help you cross over, Charlie. Oh, so sad.
What have you got for us, Savannah?
Okay, mine was kind of freaky until you said yours, and now it's just like a goosebump story. It's like not even anything compared to your asylum. But I am going to do the Myrtles Plantation in Francisville, Louisiana. So,
love it.
There's a little bit of setup as to why I'm doing this story, because we're going to have a guest on for you guys pretty soon from New Orleans. Who's got all of these stories firsthand for us. She's been to all of the places.
I'm so excited for it. Mm-hmm. So excited.
So this is a little bit of setup, so you can be like, ooh, if you don't know anything about New Orleans and how haunted it is and just deeply fascinating it is.
Yeah.
Louisiana in general, it's just a hive of ghost activity. It's fantastic. So we're going to have all those stories coming. So we're going to start it with basically what I think is probably one of the more gentle ones. The Myrtles Plantation was a former antebellum plantation built in 1796 by General David Bradford. So it's claimed to be one of America's most haunted homes, but it is self-proclaimed to be one of America's most haunted homes.
Oh, okay.
So,
right.
You know, it's the same. America's the greatest country. They said that about themselves too, you know.
Mm-hmm. Just lie,
we're just going to throw it all out there. You know, when you say it yourself, you know.
It doesn't really sound much.
Exactly. I feel like there's definitely more haunted homes, but we'll see. So it's claimed to be built over an Indian burial ground, with the ghost of a young Native American woman being reported as being seen on the grounds. So we'll just go into like the general history of it without any of the ghosty stuff, because if you ask me, the place has a grim history that can be proven, even if you don't add any of the ghost stories. Like, it's a grim place. Like, you'll see. So when the Myrtles was built by David Bradford, it was built on 1,600 acres of land, and it was originally named Laurel Grove. So Bradford originally lived there alone while he was on the run from the part he played in the Whiskey Rebellion. And if you don't know what the Whiskey Rebellion is, it's basically the same as the Boston Tea Party, where all the people like living on the frontiers were like, fuck you, we're not paying tax on whiskey. And they just like had an uprising about it. So,
oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so that's what the Dramatics. Whiskey Rebellion was. Honestly, like, how many drinks did the Americans have an uprising about? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, it's like, what have you got against your beverages?
Exactly. Are you going to protest Coke taxes now? You know, the drink, not the nose candy. But, like, you know what I mean? That's coming in now. Are you protesting the sugar taxes? Are we going to dump that into the river? Like, anyway, besides the point, I just found it hilarious that there was, like, the Boston Tea Party and then the Whiskey Rebellion. But, so he was pardoned for that in 1799. Dyspraxic. So he moved his wife, Elizabeth. There's an Elizabeth in every story.
It's very, what the best.
Five children. They had five children.
That's how many I want.
I'll take my ghost children. I don't have to do any work for them. He moved them to the plantation from Pennsylvania. Bradford died in 1808, with Elizabeth continuing to run it until 1817, where she handed it over to her son-in-law, Clark Woodruff. So her son-in-law and her daughter, Sarah, they had three children. However, two of them, and Sarah, died in 1823 and 1824. So I think Sarah died in 1823, and then the two kids died in 1824.
That's so sad.
Yeah. It's really, this is just the surface of the deaths that happened. Like, the confirmed deaths, not even just murders that they made up. This is just the surface. These are the first ones. So they reportedly died of yellow fever. So then Elizabeth, Sarah's mother, she died in 1831. Don't know why. I assume old age.
So 50 years of age.
That, I mean, in the 1800s, that's old as fuck. Yeah. If disease hasn't taken you out by that stage, you were winning. Like, Clark left with his surviving daughter, Mary Octavia, which I think is a fabulous
name.
Isn't
Octavia's a great name.
I've always liked Octavia because of the 100.
The 100.
Yeah, I always she's thought Octavia age. Was a gorgeous name. And yeah, oh, she's fit as fuck as well. Though. Sorry. She's gorgeous. Octavia for the win. Selling the plantation, the lands and the slaves to Rufin Grey Stirling.
Oh my god.
There's cracking some names
name.
In the story. Like
Rufin. Such fancy names. Like.
Aren't they? But then if you own a plantation, you have to be a fancy person. Like, I feel like
true.
In the 1800s, anyone who had money had a name that had money. You know what I mean? Rufin and his wife undertook extensive remodelling, almost doubling the size and filling it full of imported European furniture and renaming it the Myrtles because of the like myrtle trees that grew on the property. So they just named it after that. That's where that name comes from. So in 1854, Stirling died. And in 1865, Mary hired William Drew Winter to help manage the plantation, who was another son, just another son-in-law. It just seems to be like a heap of son-in-laws keep taking over this plantation over time. He had six children, one of whom died of typhoid. Aged three. So in 1871, William Winter was shot by a man on his front porch and later died, with his wife Sarah dying in 1878 and her mother dying in 1880. So that was kind of...
Jesus Christ.
By that stage, pretty much the bloodline had died out, or the marriage bloodline had kind of run out. So by this time then, the plantation was in serious debt and it passed from owner to owner to owner until it was eventually taken over in the 70s. By James and Francis Kermine Myers. So I can only assume James Myers was like her husband and then Francis Kermine was the wife because they opened it up. That's when they opened it up as the bed and breakfast that it is today still. And if you're interested in going, I looked it up. It costs €175 a night. I'd imagine in dollars it's something
about
like 180.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't actually at the moment. Yeah, their economy is dirt, so yeah, it's probably
dirt,
more.
It's about 200.
But you know, worth it because they give you ghost tours and you get to stay in one of the rooms and like, shit like that. It sounds fun. But during that time when they opened the bed and breakfast, Francis, under the name Francis Kermine, wrote a book about it. So there is a book. It's just called The Myrtles Plantation, and I think that's like a subheading of The Most Haunted House in America. Francis was the one who deemed it the most haunted house in America.
Of course she was.
Yeah.
Francis.
So, I mean, how else are you going to promote your bed and breakfast?
Yeah.
Now, that's just the straight facts of the place. Now we're on to the rumours. As I said previously, it's rumoured to be on a Indian burial ground. So it's a Tunica Indian burial ground is what it's rumoured to be built on. So already bad juju. You don't build anything on a fucking Indian
sacred,
burial ground.
Like, don't be burying like or building stuff on top of it. You have to leave them at peace. Yeah.
You're only asking for trouble when you do stuff like that.
Not 100%.
Not less a plantation, which is like primarily run by slave labour. You know what I mean? You're like double whammy in your bad karma there. So bad.
Yeah.
Yep, so there's a claim to as many as 12 ghosts living on the property. It's reported that there was 10 murders that occurred in the house, but historical records only indicate the murder of William Drew Winter. So that's the only one they can confirm when he was shot. Yep.
Yeah.
Which I'll go into a little bit more in the ghost side of things with his ghost, which apparently is still there today. So that's the only one they can really confirm that actually happened, that was an actual murder. Yeah, the only one on record was the murder, like I said, of William Drew Winter, who he was teaching a, I think it was Sunday school for kids in his front room parlour, and he heard a man come on a horse outside and call him, and he said he had business with him. So he was like, the fuck? What's this about? Like, went out to investigate, got to the front porch and got shot to bits. The official story is that he died there and then on the front porch, but... Then there is the ghosty story where it's said that he reportedly staggered inside the house trying to climb the stairs where his wife Sarah found him, and he died in her arms on the 17th step. So
that's so sad though. Like,
yeah. So guests staying in, I guess, bed and breakfast, they've reported hearing the journey from the front door to the 17th step. So they can hear like his dying breaths. They can hear him gasping, like,
ugh.
Even I was watching the episode of Ghost Adventures about it. I think it's season 5. They did like an EVP on the, or not an EVP, sorry, it wasn't. It was the spirit box as well.
Oh, that yoked.
You know, where it's so loud. And just like the whole time.
It's most irritating.
It wrecks really hard to hear. Anything.
It wrecks my brain. But they were doing that and they went up, and it was actually afterwards when they went back to talk to the engineer guys. They were like, we heard a noise and he didn't even react to it. And basically they played it back and you can just hear a man kind of go, oh! And it's like, that's probably the moment that William Drew Winter stopped breathing. That's really freaky. So they report that the steps always stop on the 17th step. Like, people count them as they hear them going up the stairs and it stops on the 17th
step.
Oh my
God.
So that's where the kind of the legend of that he made it to the 17th step and died there that's where that came from. There's a large mirror facing the stairs in, like, say, the hallway of the main house. And, mm-hmm. like, it's huge. It's a huge mirror. It's said to have, like, permanent handprints on it. Like, kids' handprints. And you can constantly see them. And it's been cleaned. It's been re-silvered. Everything. They won't go away.
I have a thing about that, though, because apparently, right, if you have two mirrors that are facing each other, mm-hmm. it creates, like, I don't know, it's like a vortex nearly.
Yeah.
That's why it's like buildings that have two mirrors facing towards each other, there's always mental paranormal activity. It's like, because it's literally a way that can cross through words. Because if you see two and you look in it, it's literally like you see infinite views. It's like you can't even count how many that's there. So apparently this is like a way that spirits are actually able to cross over. And it's like a sight into like the spirit place. So a lot of times if you see a ghost in a mirror and it's pointing another mirror, it's because you're actually seeing the other side. Not that they're behind you or at an. What you're actually seeing into the other dimension. It's mad. Like, you have to look it up. It's a big, crazy theory, but, like, it's mad.
I love it.
It's mad. So I don't know if that has a mirror that's facing it as well.
It doesn't. It has a staircase, unfortunately.
Never mind, but that's some useless information that somebody... If you have it in your house, probably remove it.
Don't have two mirrors facing each other. It just seems logical. But yeah, no, like I said, it has a staircase facing it, and many people have reported seeing Sarah and her two children standing on the stairs through the mirror. Yeah. Like, even separately, like, you'll just see the kids, or you'll just see her, or you'll see them all together. Like, it's not just one or the other, you know? It's whatever.
Yeah.
It's whatever way they decide to present themselves that day. So, now we're on to the other one of the selfie, the guest selfie that you were on about, where you can see like the actual full body face and, like,
in everything. The window, yeah.
Down to the clothes. It's terrifying. It is, again, it's really famous, but when you look up anything got to do with it that isn't, like, a Ghost Adventures episode or America's Most Haunted or any of those kind of things, they don't go into it. Like, you just don't mention... You don't mention this ghost at all. Basically, her name was Kate, and she was dying. So they called over to the other plantation so that they could call on who was supposed to be a known voodoo priestess named Cleo. They called her over to perform, like, a voodoo ritual in an attempt to save the child's life. However... The ritual failed and Kate died. So Cleo was not only blamed for failing to, like, perform the ritual to save her life, she was blamed for killing her.
That's so unfair.
Yeah, they basically said that, like, she murdered her.
Don't use your grief to justify the murder of another. Like, it's so stupid.
Yeah. They put it all on her. Like, she was going to die anyway. She was dying of typhoid. She was only 3, you know?
Yeah.
Like, fair enough, you're going to be a bit pissed that, like, she couldn't save her. But don't blame her for her death. That wasn't murder. But, yeah, they tried to save her.
As if she's going to murder the child and then know what her own outcome's going to be because of it.
She was hanged from a tree. They were all just hung on the plantation because, you know, efficient, I suppose. The young girl's ghost can still be seen on the grounds. Has been claimed to appear in many guest photos and videos while they were staying at the property. So the most active ghosts then on the plantation seem to be that of the children. Naturally.
Little kid ghosts just unsettle me. Obviously not poor Lily, because she was a gem. But, like, other ones. Because I'm just thinking of, like, what's that film? Children of the Corn.
Oh, my God.
Terrifying.
Yes. Yeah, be it that the kids were poisoned or not, the Woodruff children definitely died on the property. And 3 out of 9 of the Sterling children also died on the property. And then you have little Kate. So that's, like... 6 kids.
It's practically Neverland for ghost kids.
It's, yeah, pretty much. Oh my God, stop. That's so sad.
You're welcome.
Peter Pan.
Now you're even
Peter
more
Pan
sad.
Peter Pan led them all there. This was supposed to be a fun episode.
Now we're all depressed.
Yeah, so, yeah, either way, 6 kids died there. So be they poisoned, be they fucking, I don't know, whatever else you might want to happen to them, they died.
Yeah.
They died there for sure. So there's a lot of reports of hearing the children laughing and playing in the hallways. They'd, like, play pranks on people in the rooms. So they take their shit and hide it, or, like, even just vanish it completely. Like, they'll just take it. And then a couple of days later, like, depending on how long they're staying, like a couple hours or a couple of days later, they'd just drop it back under the bed or in the wardrobe or, like, random places that the guests know they didn't put it. They're playful out boys and girls. Ghost adventures again. During their investigation of the Myrtles, they tried to communicate with the children. So this is again, they were sitting on the stairs where William Winter died, and they captured what appeared to be a child's voice on the spirit box, which sounded like a young girl speaking to them. While they were sitting on the stairs, they asked, "Where did William Winter die?" And the voice replied, "Behind you." So I think Zach deliberately went to, like, the 16th step.
Just to
and
see.
Sat on it, and yeah, and the 17th step was behind him. She was like, "Behind you." And then when they heard it, they repeated, they were like, "Did you hear that? Behind you." And then as soon as they went, "Behind you," she just went, "Yeah."
Oh, like, so it was like, really, like, as in, like, oh, you didn't know. As in, like, kids are really, like, clueless when they give you, like,
little
an
bit
answer
of
back.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what it sounded like to me. And I was like, oh, that's so cute. So they also placed a ball on the stairs. Like, this is like the end of their investigation. They were all kind of like, they were away from it. And then they just went, could someone send that ball down the stairs? And the ball instantly came down the stairs.
Launched down the fucking stairs. No.
And they went and they tried to debunk it to see, you know, was it pushed by the wind? Was it them knocking about things? Was it just an uneven step that the ball was kind of going to go on its own? And basically, no. The stairs was carpeted. So, you know yourself, carpet, nothing fucking moves on carpet.
Moves on carpet, no.
Not on its own. They tried, like, blowing on it to see if, like, a strong breeze could have blown it. So they were all behind it, like, fucking idiots, just going... like, trying to knock it over.
They even kind of
bumped it, just to see if, like, something had kind of bumped off it or they had caused something to bump off it or whatever, how it would react going down the stairs. And it did not come down the stairs with the same force or anything. So they couldn't debunk it.
Yeah, so that's mad.
That's all I'm going to say. I can't confirm nor deny. I'm not there for their parlour tricks, if there are any. But they couldn't debunk it. So various other strange occurrences are reported, such as blood that couldn't be cleaned. Apparently for like a month, there was this blood stain that would form. And the maids would be there like violently scrubbing it and it just would not fuck off for like a month. And then it just disappeared out of nowhere. And there's some theory about that, that it was like soldiers, again, similar to yours, that soldiers were killed in there. But there's no proof that any soldiers were ever even near the gaff. So, I don't know. Maybe not. But apparently there was three soldiers that were killed in the plantation, the main house of the plantation. And then apparently there was another burglary and somebody else got killed in the house during that. But the only confirmed burglary where someone died was in one of the like guest houses. So it's not in the main house like they thought.
In the main house.
Someone was stabbed to death in the plantation. Ooh. Yeah, during a burglary. So fun times there. Strange smells. Always. The rocking chairs, like they have rocking chairs on the veranda, I guess. And they move on their own. Like they just rock away on their own, not a bother on them. Guests have apparently spoken to people who were never there. As in like the guests would be like, oh, I was just chatting to this one and describe her. And then like the people who run the place would just be like, there's no one here like
that. Talking about.
Yeah, it's like that's not a person. So,
that's mad.
Or unusual noises, you know, same thing again. Spectres walking through solid walls and doors. So there apparently was a guy who, I think he was the gate guy, who ran the grounds and a woman like walked through the gate. No, sorry, excuse me. He was the ticket guy. A woman walked through the gate dressed in white and strolled up to the plantation, just breezed right past him and went through the door without opening it. And he quit his job on the spot. He was like,
holy
nope.
Good night, myself. I would have been, goodbye. Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of like, there's a lot of interviews with the staff. There's a lot of people who made YouTube videos of them going to stay there and like, if they experienced anything or, you know, that kind of stuff. Or just a little bit of the history and the ghost stories that they tell you when you go. So there's plenty, I mean plenty to look up about the Myrtles. Yeah, so whether or not the origins of the paranormal occurrences are legitimate, it seems undeniable that the plantation is haunted. And if it's not haunted, it's definitely cursed. Definitely. Yeah. Like, I can't argue with the fact that it's cursed. It's definitely cursed. The amount of deaths that happened.
That have happened just from owners alone, 100%. Yeah. Well, that's why you get for building on native people's land.
Exactly.
And what you get for keeping slaves. This is what you get.
Exactly. Again, yeah, most of my information kind of came from like myrtlesplantation.com, which is where you can actually book the room. They have some of the information up there themselves. Good old Wikipedia. Ghost adventures, and then just like 17 other articles that I came across, a bunch of YouTube videos. I don't have time to cite them all, but like I said, there is an abundance of information out there about it. So
nice.
The one
with the like the ball and stuff would actually freak me out. Like if I seen that coming, that's it. It's because if she's the power to push a ball, she's the power to push me down the fucking stairs. So I would be gone.
And Zach was fucking hilarious at the end when it happened, and he was just like, "Thank you, spirit, for showing us your power." And I was just like, "Zach, you're trying not to get stabbed."
He's actually mad. Like,
alrighty, let's wrap this up with Quiva's story then.
Okay, so, well, I decided to do Penhurst Asylum on Lizzie's recommendation because...
As resident spooky queen.
Yeah, I couldn't
think
of... I found it hard to kind of decide what I wanted to do, so Lizzie came through with a recommendation. Most of my research came from Wikipedia. I watched the BuzzFeed Unsolved video on it, which is in their season 3 of their Supernatural... You know, they do Supernatural and True Crime. So season 3 of their Supernatural one. And I also watched the Ghost Adventures one, which is on their season 3 episode 2. You can go watch them if you want. But okay, I'll give you a bit of backstory first as to like the setup and all that kind of thing. Because It's really, really bad. On the 23rd of January 1903, the Penhurst State School was commissioned as the Eastern Pennsylvania State Institution for the feeble-minded and epileptic, where they'd, you know, live, learn, and they just be cared for in, like, a controlled environment, basically.
Mm.
They built the first building, and then it just, they kept building more and more. Like, they ended up with over 20 buildings on the campus of over 100 acres, which is humongous.
Hell, yeah. That's massive.
But it very quickly, you know, was started to get run down. The people inside, like the patients and the staff, there was very poor conditions for everyone inside in the building.
Yeah.
Because there was overcrowding, understaffing and lack of funds, so they couldn't rectify the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just a massive shit heap that just got let go worse and worse.
It just got worse and worse, and the staff couldn't help. The staff couldn't do anything because they were only able to work with what they were given, so... Like, I think the staff back then probably did the best they could with what they were given, but there was nothing they could do.
Yeah, of course.
There was, obviously, loads of patients of different ages, but regardless of what age the patients were, they were referred to as children, like the children, which is...
So fucking demeaning, like.
Like, really degrading and, like, kind of gross, but anyways.
Yeah.
In 1974, the reported average age was 35, and people spent, on average, 21 years of their lives in the asylum. Like,
but that's
a really long
like
time.
Once they were sent there, they stayed.
They stayed there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they were sent there to rot. There's no other way around it. Like, no one was sent there to be helped.
Like, oh, it's not acceptable to keep them locked in your attic anymore, but it's acceptable to send them here to rot for the rest of their lives.
Exactly.
In 1968, almost 60 years after its opening, a documentary series called "Suffer the Little Children" was released by Bill Baldini. He was a reporter for I think he said CVS, but I feel like that doesn't make sense. Anyways, and this documentary like exposed to the public exactly what was happening in the facility, which was terrible. Like, the conditions were just awful. There was a doctor, his name was Dr. Fear, who worked,
Like, his legit name, or they called
Dr.
him Dr. Fear?
His second name was Fear, like,
well,
F-E-A-R.
He's gonna be a bad bastard to the bone.
Yes, yeah, so you already know that it's, like, it's not going to go well.
No.
And he admitted to threatening and punishing patients. One patient in particular, he punished by injecting them with the most painful injection that wouldn't cause damage. I don't really know what that means, but I presume it just wouldn't cause permanent damage.
Damage,
to
it would just
insides,
cause maximum
but it would
pain.
Just, I couldn't even figure out, like, what would... Anyways, as you can tell, he's a massive dickhead.
Yeah, arsehole.
Their underfunding was that bad that the documentary said that the larger zoos in America, like, at the time, spent $7.15 on each animal daily, whereas Penhurst spent only $5.90.
Shit.
Wow.
Yeah, but what was great with that was that 80% of that paid administrative costs, which left the patient with 75 cents to be allocated to them. So
what?
Yeah, there was each patient was allocated with 75 cents per day for, like, you know, I'm presuming food and all that kind of stuff. So, as you can imagine,
what the fuck's that, a Freddo bar? You wouldn't even get an orange for that. I'm being serious.
Well, I presume they were buying in bulk and stuff, but it just goes to show that how shit the quality of the food must have been if it was just like probably buying a rake of turnips.
It's like fucking Shoko on his fucking, what are they called? Sweet potatoes.
It's sweet potatoes.
Christ almighty.
They were probably making, like, you know, what was it that they used to feed the kids in Annie? Gruel.
Oh, definitely, like, gruel. Stew.
Gruel is the word I'm looking for.
Like, porridge, basically.
And she was like, yeah. In 1974, this lady called Terry Lee Halderman, she was actually a resident in Penhurst. She filed a class action lawsuit against Penhurst State School and Hospital because while she was a resident, she suffered about 40 injuries, including cracked teeth, a fractured finger, and a broken jaw.
What the
Jesus.
Fuck?
Yeah, so they're obviously the more severe ones, but she'd 40 other ones, so probably
I'd say boxers
bad bruising.
Don't even get them fucking injuries, like.
Do you know?
40. Yeah.
40 is a lot for not being in there
for a
very
long
time.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
During the trial, the conditions of Penhurst were described and later were undisputed by the Supreme Court. So they basically just said, yeah, she's not lying, basically.
Oh God,
there's a quote that says, conditions at Penhurst are not only dangerous, the patients are often physically abused or drugged by staff members, but they're also inadequate. Indeed, the court found that the physical, intellectual and the emotional skills of some of the residents have deteriorated at Penhurst. So basically, Penhurst, as bad as it was, their condition just never improved. Like, they were put in there and they
got worse.
So there was no way of getting out. So once you're put in there, your condition gets worse and you're just stuck there for life, basically. Loads of the residents were, like, physically harmed by staff in abuse, but also just neglect.
Yeah.
Like, lots of people just died because of how badly they were treated inside. But just, some people just died from being left there and nothing was done with them.
That's fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Honestly, asylums were just the worst thing.
Like, there's no wonder people were so bad in there, like.
There's actually really good documentary that I found. It's like, now you can get it on YouTube, and it's like back in the 60s, but it goes into all asylums and it just shows how dreadful they were. Like, I mean, these were scandalous for how bad they were. I'm going to find the name of it now. It's like a really long name and it made me laugh because I think that like the name Tit was in it or something like that. I just started giggling. Like the immature child that I am. Titica Follies, and it's from 1967. Like, it's 100% ratings on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, it's brilliant. It's very good, but it's from 1967. Wow. So obviously, if you're bothered by quality, get over it and watch it. It's really, really good.
This guy called Roland Johnson, he was a former resident as well, and he actually wrote an autobiography in which he actually described the conditions inside Penhurst. He described it as a doghouse and said it just smells like feces. Rats crawling, roaches crawling all over, feces and pee on the floor, flies coming in the windows.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ.
So
much disease.
Yeah.
Like, no wonder people were dying, like. Imagine being neglected, like, I'm sorry, but there's no reason there should be poo and pee on the floor.
No. Like, the infection. Like,
there's
no
reason.
If any of them,
reason.
Like, pick themselves or anything like that, or if any of them, like, are chronic nail biters, like, or, like, cut themselves or anything, like, the infection...
Then you have people going around, like, they're going to box the head off you, they're going to fucking try and stab you with any sharp object. Like,
sure, you touch your face.
You're going to be open to a lot of infection.
Yeah. So much, like, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Right, anyways. In 1984, the final settlement of Penhurst versus Terry Halderman, she called for the closure of the asylum, and 3 years later, it was officially shut down.
Woo!
Yeah, so...
Success story!
1987 is pretty early for a place like that as well.
Yeah.
Which is... really sad. So anyways, I'll go into what BuzzFeed did and then I'll talk about what Ghost Adventures did. Because BuzzFeed tend to, like, they're quite limited with their time, so they only do, like, a small section of the places.
So they
decided to investigate the most active areas. They said that Penhurst buildings, because there's about 20 buildings, were linked by an underground tunnel system where there's a lot of reported activity. So they had this kind of underground tunnel system that, like, it was like a spider web that there was, like, links between every building that the staff, I presume, would be able to travel between the buildings and not have to go outside. And also as well, you can lock all the doors and the patients can't leave, no matter. And the staff can still travel.
Yeah, they can still roam free.
Yeah, there was a property manager, so like a grown man in the past, refused to go down by himself. He said he wouldn't go down there ever on his own.
Ooh.
I feel like a grown man.
I like that you had to confirm he was a grown man.
but I feel like
a grown ass man.
I feel like I personally wouldn't, but people would be like, "Yeah, she's just like a girl, an unmarried girl."
Oh yeah, no, I know what you mean.
There's actually a book written by a woman named Tamara Lawrence, documenting the hauntings because she worked in the Mayflower Building in 2011. I just noticed that 2011. I don't know. Maybe she was in maintenance.
It could
or something.
Be maintenance, because a lot of like still abandoned places like that, especially really, really big ones, still have security.
I didn't even notice that it was so long after they closed. But it must have been security or maintenance or cleaning or something. She discussed the four most well-known spirits on the second floor of the building. So the first is a little boy called Howie.
Cute name.
Really cute name. He has a little Fisher Price toy airplane that he has in one of the rooms that he plays with, and he gets really upset when people touch his plane, so that's how people kind
of if you go fuck off and leave his plane alone.
Yeah,
honestly.
There's not much information on any of these, but anyways, the shadow man is seen in the common room or the bathroom. A couple who were exploring the area, the floor, found the name Fisher was written on the walls in one of the cells, so that's, they figured out that was his name,
right?
Maybe his second name, or
either
way.
The second name.
I would imagine second
they
name.
Found they found... He's actually been caught on camera a couple of times. Like, people have caught, like...
Right.
A silhouette, we'll say, on camera. I tried to look it up and it just looks like shadows to me, but...
Well, if he is the shadow man, him. Like, I'm not expecting anything more.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, when you'd have to nearly be there and see it,
but
the shadows are hard to see.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you can see them moving and stuff. There's a little girl and she's seen in different spots throughout the second floor, and that's all the information I have on her from BuzzFeed. So she's just a little girl who just wanders around. And there's also an angry nurse.
Because we need more of them.
She is very aggressive.
Yep.
Multiple people have reported being stabbed with what feels like a needle.
Oh my God, imagine she was trying to sedate.
She just goes around.
Ew!
That's literally...
Yeah, that's what I'm... Literally what I'm thinking.
Why did I say that?
So, it's like when they go on their freakouts and they get, like, the little injection to calm them down, put them to sleep. Like, she's just like, you're walking around too much.
Say night-night, bitch.
And
oh my God, terrible.
Go to sleep and she's probably getting really... Because that's the thing as well, that, like, there's a theory that we could look like ghosts to them, you know?
Oh my God.
So, yeah. That
then
was
why did ghosts
was,
always
like,
try to square up to you?
By.
Like, I want to square up to a ghost.
So, in these asylums, I don't want to say insane asylum, but that's what they were called. The way the people were housed was that the higher the floor, the more, I suppose, dangerous you could say the patients were. So, the third floor is the most active floor in this building, the Mayflower building. The caretaker said something really creepy. He was like, yeah. And about half of these patients just never left, as in ghost wise. And I was like,
oh, that's the kind of fucker you meet at the gate, and he tells you all this stuff, and you're like, ah, what? And then you go in,
and he's like, have a good time, and you're like, okay. Anyways, that's about it for BuzzFeed. I just said I'd include some of that because they had more details about like books and stuff. So Ghost Adventures, they said that over 10,000 people called it home, and about half never left, as in they died there.
That's a pretty good ratio for an asylum.
5,000 people
half made it out.
That's true. I suppose you could say 5,000 people got out.
Yeah,
I'm fairly sure no one fucking left.
That place was a cesspit.
So they interviewed a good few people who like worked and, you know, that kind of stuff. There was a guy called Greg Perman, and he was an employee at Penhurst. He said that if you had a mentally disabled child, that you were basically told just get rid of the kid.
That's
like
so
your
sad.
Minister, your doctor, your friends, everyone told you that the best thing to do is to put that child away and get on with your life.
It upsets me as well that people used to listen to priests.
Your opinion is not valid.
That just gets me angry. Anyways. It's not for this time. It's for the laundries episode that we'll get into.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Not raising children.
Yeah, there's lots of words in this now that like you wouldn't use nowadays, but these are this is the language they used back then, so I'm just going to go and do direct quotes because...
Yeah. Like I said, we can't exactly help the times we talk about. All we can do is talk
so
about
So he's
them.
Quoted in saying, you would go into a building and there would be 100 people with profound mental retardation, literally in a small place milling, and that was their day. Some of them would be clothed, many wouldn't. You push 100 people into a room and you provide them with nothing, and they develop all kinds of bizarre behaviour, some of which can be dangerous to themselves, some of which can be dangerous to other people. So basically they would just, day to day, when they weren't asleep, they would just be put into a room and left there to entertain themselves. And I suppose the logic might have been, oh, they can talk to each other, but sure, some of them probably were so...
There are low functioning, so they mightn't have been able to, like...
Yeah,
they
couldn't
have been able to communicate with each other properly, and then like
could have been non-verbal,
like
completely
somebody
like
else in their space. Never mind 99 other
and
people
as well,
in
like
their space.
For people who would have been put in there for maybe even high functioning autism and stuff,
yeah,
would just agree. Like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, it would just, anyone who was put in there would just
they're just dumped in there.
You know what's the word?
Yeah,
lobbed into.
Yeah, and
a
they would just
room.
Degrade so quickly. Yeah. Like their mental health would just go out the door. Like this guy Nathaniel Guest. He is the secretary of Penhurst Memorial, and he said there was area described as deafening, that there was screeches and screams and spooky noises and sounds, and you really couldn't hear yourself think, and many people lost the will to speak. People came here who could speak and were just talking. They withered. People did not get better at Penhurst.
What the fuck?
Oh, fucking hell.
People just stopped talking because I suppose there's no one to talk to.
Well, that, you know? Like, you know when someone keeps talking over you and you just eventually you just break
get
down
out,
and just stop wanting to talk.
And imagine that every day.
You can't hear yourself, nobody else
can hear you. You just stop wanting to.
Exactly.
So this lady, Betty Potts, they interviewed her as well, and she was a former patient and she was in a wheelchair and stuff, but mentally she was pretty high functioning, like.
Fine.
She arrived at the facility when she was 8. They put her through kindergarten, but she said that she had, she kind of lashed out a lot, that she'd have a lot of tantrums and screamed a lot. She said because she didn't know. She screamed a lot because of things she didn't know. I don't know what she meant by that, but...
Right, so she'd get really frustrated over her lessons.
Is in every fucking child ever.
She'd get, you know, that she felt like she couldn't grasp things and they weren't helping her enough, so she'd get frustrated and would have a lot of tantrums. She said, and she was only 8 as well, like, you know, if it's just a bit of patience.
It takes as well the teacher to have the patience,
you know?
And the time to like sit down and try and explain it properly, but obviously they didn't give a shit and now she's
but
after
see,
suffering
if you've no time, if you've, there's that many patients, you can't give 20 minutes to one kid if you have 50 other kids who also need your help, you know.
You can't.
It's like the kids who can't keep up get left behind, which is awful. She said, I remember being tied down to the bed.
Still a situation today.
Exactly.
Too.
You know, people that are, well, you know, there's more help nowadays. But
yeah, but even like overcrowding in schools. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's why me and Lizzie got such a shit education, is because there was like 35 people in our class.
That's the thing, like.
You know what I mean? That there's too many people for one
teacher.
There's
no way of giving anyone the help that they need, you know? She said, I remember being tied down to the bed. I remember being put into seclusion.
It's all tying to the bed things.
You know, for one, someone, she was. One. Then, anyways, the Ghost Adventures, they spoke to that Bill Baldini guy who released the Suffering of the Children documentary, because he actually went to the facility and he said he had to talk about it because people didn't know what was going on. He said the children were rotting in their cages, cribs and beds. You can thank society for their dreadful plate. Like that they were served such a bad hand, basically. He said, I went into one ward and there was 80 cribs, 80 people who could not walk. There was cages, there was flies, there was feces, and there was two people to take care of all of them.
Shit.
He said those people who did that were angelic, but you just can't do it. He asked why some of the kids who were 3 or 4 and 5, they weren't walking, and he said the reason was because it wasn't enough people to, I suppose, he said put mattresses on the floor, so I suppose that the kids would be falling, that they wouldn't hit themselves, so there was no one to put the mattresses on the floor, so they just didn't, and they never learned to walk until they were about 5 or 6 years old.
Jesus Christ.
At one stage they were like a good 30 or 40 metres away from the building, and he said when you were standing here back then, all you could hear was screaming coming from all the windows. When they asked him, like, oh, you know, do you think that there would be ghosts here? And he said he couldn't pick them.
With that much pain, I couldn't imagine it not happening. No. Do you know what I mean?
Sounds like it.
Christ.
This girl called Sarah McConnell, she was in the Whitman building in like the infirmary, and she was exploring the building, and she was walking down the hall to the operating room, and they were recording at the time, just, you know, to see if they could find anything. And after they went back over the audio, you could hear, and she played it, but the quality was kind of bad. It was kind of hard to hear, but I could see what she meant, that you could hear someone throwing up, like, really violently in the background, like, you know, you, like someone, you know, when you throw up that bad that you're nearly like shouting, kind of.
Yeah,
you could hear that. It was like, it was really like, you could hear it basically. When like Zach and the boys were outside recording, they're outside this building called the Rockwell building, and they heard a really loud bang. They went inside, he climbed in a window, and everything was like, what the fuck was that? And it was like running so fast. Like, I don't know their names because this was the only episode I really watched. But one of the lads was like, oh my god, I think it was that. Mm-hmm. And they went into this room, and there was a desk on its side.
Shit.
As if it had just been like knocked over with a bang. And they were like, you know, maybe it wasn't this, but on the ground, like the dust was like, I'm going to say like, and centimetre thick, not nearly an inch thick. It was so disgusting. But you could see the dry, like the little marks where the legs had been pushed a little. Yeah, so it was that. Whether it was a ghost or a person, something
pushed that table.
They went back to this doctor who was describing all these things, and he said that the average person who lived here in 1978 would get on average 3 minutes of psychiatric help.
Stunning.
Per year. Per year. Right. He said there was people on toothbrushing programs, so people, like the nurses, would brush their teeth. He said that they had no teeth.
Because that's helpful.
Because the first time someone bit someone, there'd be kind of like behavioural treatment where they teach the person not to bite. But after one or two more biting incidents, their teeth would be pulled. And this happened to hundreds of patients, that there was actually a dentist chair where hundreds of people sat in that chair and had all their teeth pulled.
Fucking hell.
What sort of absolute, I'm going to use the word lunatics, ran that fucking place?
Obviously back then as well, mentally ill people were seen as being the same as people with mental disabilities. And this guy gave an example of, like, imagine a kid, a young lad with like an IQ of 110, but he's a pyromaniac and that's considered mental illness. He'd be put into Penhurst and would then go on to be a predator inside the place. That there was the sexual abuse inside the place was absolutely rampant, like between patients and between like staff members on patients as well. He said that Quaker Hall, there's so many different places, they had the most difficult patients, so the buildings and tunnels beneath were where there would be anything. If there was anything to find, it would be there. This girl called Brianna, she explored the Mayfair building with a group of friends, and one of her friends was holding a lit candle when suddenly the candle went out and a little girl was heard laughing in the darkness.
Delightful.
Fuck off.
Yeah. So I got chills.
Absolutely no.
At first, it was only her and one of her other friends heard it, and they both were kind of looking at each other like, oh my god, did you just hear that? And the other people in the group were like, what's that? Like, what happened? And the second they asked what had happened, the girl laughed again.
Oh, no way.
So they did a search of the building, but there was nobody else in the building. They were like, they searched the building, because they were like, maybe it was someone else, but there was nobody else in the building. She also went over to the Franklin building, and her and her friends were all sitting around the room in the dark, and Brianna looked over and noticed a little girl sitting with her knees pulled her up to her chest, just staring at her. She was wearing a little dress, but she was just sitting there with her hands, her knees pulled up to her chest, just staring at her.
No.
They all turned back on their flashlights and all that, but for the rest of the time, she said they felt terrible, like they'd been thrown down a flight of steps. We felt depressed. We felt her energy.
Oh.
So
Jesus.
That's disgusting.
I dread to think
this
what
one kind of freaked me out. Yeah. That this guy called George Monroe, he's the Penhurst property manager. He was on the grounds with a contractor, and the contractor brought his son, just because I presume he was probably getting into the family business or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was 21 years old at the time. They were going around surveying the property when all of a sudden the son stopped and was like pointing at one of the windows, and he was like, they were asking him what was wrong, and he couldn't really talk. Mm. And he was like, there's somebody there. George, who was the property manager, could see that that the curtains were kind of pushed back, but he couldn't see anyone. Oh, it was only like a figure that he could see. But as they went kind of closer to the window to see what it was, that the curtains swung shut.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so they checked the buildings, but all the buildings and all the doors and all the tunnels were all sealed. So there was nobody in the building. There was no way for someone to be inside. Yeah, when the Ghost Adventure Boys went back, they checked the inside of the window and there was a heavy duty metal mesh. There was the window, the curtains, and then the mesh on the inside. There was literally no way
it could have been
someone could have touched the curtains.
Oh my god.
You couldn't touch the curtains. So obviously they brought in like the two men that had seen this figure and they couldn't believe it. Like they were like, no, like they really tried to get the mesh off and everything. There was no way. Yeah, so then obviously the Ghost Adventure Boys decided to spend the night in Penhurst, seal themselves in, all that
probably
kind of stuff.
Probably locked Aaron in the room by himself.
And they caught, like, they used the EVP, which I find the EVP very hard to hear anything. It just sounds like, a lot of the time it's very unclear stuff, but they caught multiple kind of voices, was they, but there was nothing
solid
I found to be anything so they were down in the tunnels at one stage and they were walking around and Zach said he heard the voice of a little girl come through on the EVP.
Okay.
And you could hear her kind of, I can't remember what she said, but she said something very basic like hello or something like that. He pulled out a thermometer because he said he got a chill. As he was looking at the thermometer, the temperature dropped from 82 degrees to 73.
Whoa, that's a big drop.
That's a massive drop.
Yeah.
Like a breeze isn't going to do that.
No. Like it wouldn't, especially down, like there's no breeze underground either.
Exactly.
No, yeah. Like, you know? There might be another reason for a cold spot, but like that's a big ass cold spot, you know?
Yeah.
But he was standing still. It wasn't like he was moving, like it dropped
in
like.
Yes, I get you.
But
okay.
Fast, if that makes sense.
Mm. Interesting.
It wasn't like he was walking into a cold spot. It was like he was standing still.
And
a cold spot nearly came to him.
It happened around him.
If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. AKA the little girl. They recorded footsteps running and walking. You could hear them, like the footsteps running around the background, walking around. They said that it sounded to them like the little girl was following them.
Mm.
Having a look at what they were doing. In the Mayflower building, same building again, they recorded a voice saying, get out. Like a really creepy man being like, get out. It was scary.
Fab.
And they were walking around anyways, and at one stage, Zach has a coat rack. You know those coat racks that are like a pole, but like they have
the little prongs coming.
The arms.
Hanger parts sticking out the sides. Yeah. One of them was fired at Zach. like a spear. Yeah. And they were saying that it like, but it came around a corner. So they were going up a hallway and they'd passed it and it was down a little side corridor that it had been picked up, come around the corner and been thrown at him, hit him in the chest.
They're
in the
practicing
heart.
For the fucking Ghost Olympics, fuck's sake. Like, the accuracy.
Jesus Christ, like.
To try and hit him in the heart as well.
Honestly. And he was like, it hit him in the heart, and he was being so dramatic about it. But
he always is.
He's
such a dramatic queen. It's fantastic.
But they have these video goggles. I presume they're goggles you can wear that record audio and video at the same time. At the exact same time that it hit him, it picked up a male voice saying hit. Like it sounded like hit. It sounded like,
oh my god,
hit.
It's like, you know when you're playing like COD or something and you're like, oh, headshot. I guarantee, like that's him telling like one of his little ghost friends.
Wasted.
Critical hit. And then he just like high fives his buddy. Fucking got him.
And hit him because Zach is definitely the more irritating one of the three. Like.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, he was walking around like he was Billy Big Ball.
He does this
like,
all the time.
Yeah, I'm going to fucking climb through this window. Like this ghost don't know what's going to hit him. Like, and when obviously the lads were like, oh my god, who did that? A male voice came back saying the girl did.
Oh, so the little one that was following him.
It was not the girl. Yeah.
So that's pretty much it. That's all I have.
That was disgusting and also brilliant. So thank
two
you.
Asylums and a plantation and a fair whack of little baby like, ghost children.
Always a ghost kid.
Like no wonder. Like, always a ghost the way kid. They treated people back then in these places.
Disgusting.
Just, do you know, like you give people no support, no help whatsoever, and then you come at them trying to brush their teeth and then you get shocked when they bite you.
Yeah. Like 3 minutes of counselling. Like I was thinking about that the whole time. Like just the rest of the time you were talking, my brain just kept going, 3 minutes
per
of counseling.
Year.
3 minutes of counselling? Like, what were they doing? Like drive-by counselling? Just like,
but that's on average.
You have daddy issues.
Like speed dating. Like sat there for about 60 seconds and fuck off.
The people who were there for 21 years, they got like an hour.
That is ridiculous.
They probably got one session for the whole time they were there.
Yeah.
And they just averaged it out, if that makes sense.
All right, drive-by counselling. Fabulous.
Fuck sake.
Are there any problems? No? Goodbye.
Yeah, this is why your husband left you new. Like, what the fuck? Yeah.
All of these places are on my spookity fucking bucket list. Like, I'm
that's what I'm saying. If we're going to America at all, we're going to America to do a ghost tour.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, yes.
So, you know, if you want to promote our ghost tour, please listen to our goddamn podcast. We need a reason to do
and
these things.
How dramatic we are, we put Zach Baggins to fucking shame.
Oh, we absolutely would. And I am a hotspot for, like, possession and ghost activity. Like, the amount of hauntings I've experienced in my life. Like, I just imagine the ghosts of Our Ladies, which we're talking about Our Ladies, which was also an insane asylum in Ennis in Ireland, which we've been to, and we've done some ghost investigations there. We'll talk about that another day, because we thought we'd have time today, but we fucking didn't. So we'll talk about it another time. But yeah, we all had some
shared experiences as well, which fucked us up like heavy.
Yeah, we had a couple of, like, all of us, there was, what, four of us there at the time, and we saw, all four of us saw the exact same goddamn thing. And then there was a couple other times where, say, Lizzie and Quiva would see the same
Lizzie
thing.
Saw, Lizzie saw, we were walking past thing. Going to the shop at like 11 o'clock at night, and Lizzie was like, oh my god, those white statues are so creepy. But we were already gone past it by the time she said it. And I was like, there is no white statues. But I was kind of like, maybe there is, because Lizzie was so certain she'd seen a white statue. And she was like, no, there was. And I was like, there must be, and I'm just blind. We went back, no fucking statue.
No.
Because there is no statue ever.
Yeah, the statue was gone.
Never existed.
Yeah. But didn't you see the same, like, statue on the way as well? It was like, didn't Lizzie see it with the head down, and then Quiva saw it with the head up later on in a different position?
It was, remember, and I was like, something about the hands as well. I was like, it looked like they were kind of bald weird, which is what caught my attention in the first place. Like, what fucking statue or like something like that. Because I was going to slag it off and be like, oh, shit architecture, like, well done. And it's the only reason why I paid attention, so I could slag it off. That just speaks to how horrible I am.
You were thinking that now, and that's how I ended up getting lured in by all the ghosts. They were like, you know what? You were thinking shit things about me, so I'm going to murder your friend.
Well, it's not my fault.
That's what's happened.
I thought it was a fucking statue. I nearly shit myself, so we went back and there was nothing.
Yeah, right. While we were recording, I texted Adam, and I had to ask, it was Portlaw. Portlaw is the name of the fucking
town.
The
word port was in my head for some reason.
Yeah. I was like, there's an L in it. I know there's an L in it.
I was going to say Portlock. That's what was in my head. I was like, that's not a place. I'm a dope.
No, Portlaw. Which sounds like it would be haunted. It sounds like an old ghost town, like from the Scooby-Doo game back in the day. Portlaw. So if anyone wants to know about some hauntings in Ireland, Portlaw is a hotspot for it. I guess we'll dedicate a whole episode at some point just to our own personal ghost stories, because we have a lot. We actually have so many, and hopefully somebody might want to hear them. This is when we officially declare ourselves as crazy ladies.
Like, there's no coming back, like the sanity. It's just dropped.
No. The fact is, it's true. It all happened. It's all real. We don't want to make it up, because who wants to actually see this shit? Nobody.
I kind of do, though.
Honestly.
So, like, I dropped dead and
I want you just so I know I'm not
you've
mad.
You've had the least experiences out of all of
us. I dropped dead and die, but like...
So that was this week. We thought we'd do some spooky dooky stuff instead of the real stuff. You know, the real heavy shit that we've been doing the last couple of weeks. And next week we're doing the same, because we need a break as much as you guys do, because you'd be surprised how heavy it actually gets recording those kind of episodes.
It really takes it out of you.
So, we are going to be doing some cryptids next week for you guys, so keep an eye on us for that, and hopefully we make it fun and interesting and all of the wonderful things so that you actually listen to us. In the meantime, we will return to Always Be a Hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles.
And join our cult.
This doll might appear very lifelike. That's because it used to be alive.
This can be edited.
Forgot to say let's dive in again.
Shit!
I was like, fuck, I need to say it, and then you started and I was like, fuck!
No, I was like, I can restart. It's fine.